The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. And welcome to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live this evening in the Toronto GTA area of Southern Ontario, Canada, dial 905-725-1907, toll-free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome to Down the Garden Path, where each Monday we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. As fellow gardeners, and even more so as landscape designers, we think it's important and possible to have great gardens that are low maintenance, which is why here on Down the Garden Path each week, we do our best to help you achieve that. Don't we, Matt?
We do.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joanne.
So it seems like every month we have an episode. So I think now that it's created a pattern, we're noticing a pattern. So now we think we're going to just make it a habit, right? Or make it an official show.
Yeah.
About the month. So what's happening in the June garden? We had what's happening in May, and I think we had what's happening in April. So we just both thought that for both ends of our business and our gardening experiences that there's lots to talk about. So if you are curious about something that's happening in your June garden, or if you want to share a triumph or a failure or whatever you want to talk about in your June garden, then please email us at instudio101@gmail.com or give us a call at...
In North America, 1-866-905-7325.
Excellent, because we'd be happy to hear what you have to say. So that's a big topic, I think. And June has been kind of odd, hasn't it?
It's been an odd month. On and off rain, and it's hot, and it's rainy again.
And it's cooler at night still.
Cool.
Yes. So I think one of the bonuses of the cooler temperatures has been the blooms. Everything's blooming a long time, don't you think?
Yeah. Everyone's enjoying that nice, cool, steady weather, that slow warm up, and they're staying strong in flower and growing nice.
Yeah. So the lilacs made it into June, I think, right?
Yeah.
They were normally May, but they've kind of made it into the beginning of June for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the peonies are doing well, even with the rain.
Yeah, I was surprised about this time of year. Yeah, I get a lot of peony, powdery mildew kind of questions, and I haven't seen a one yet.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, the peonies are faring fairly well.
Excellent. I think the roses are late. Do you think the roses are a little late?
I thought so. Even budding out at the garden center, too, they just seem like they should have been a little further along.
Makes
for good selling. They're full of buds.
So. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Because, I think I have buds on mine in my garden. I have several, groupings of carpet roses.
Mm.
But nothing's kind of broken through.
Yet.
Nothing's popped yet.
Mm.
P- poppies, speaking of popped, poppies came and went. They are always a, you know, a nice little pop of color. Got to love that orange in the garden. But it's always sad because they just last a
day
or two.
So beautiful.
I know.
And then they're gone.
I know. They literally, people complain about the peonies. My goodness. Yeah. Poppies last 2 days.
Yeah.
That's it. So what else has come across your...
A lot of insects for me.
Okay.
Just that's my usually my part of the garden center or my bigger part of the garden center. So, yeah, a lot of insects taking advantage of this long, cool, wet, slowly warm up. A lot of insects and pests and diseases are occurring. A lot of aphids I find this year. I'm very surprised. And if anybody listening has a cherry tree and all the leaves on the ends of their stems are curled and all weird looking, go take a look. Almost every other question I'm getting right now is aphids on cherry trees.
Really?
Yep.
And is that typical that the aphids go after cherry trees?
They will, yeah. But, I mean, this year it's just abnormal in force. You always get, you know,
yeah,
here's some aphids on a fruit tree, whatever. But this year it's just cherry, cherry, cherry.
Really?
Yeah. So that's really surprising.
We were doing a garden today, and I think that was a cherry tree, and I didn't look that close.
Yes. I'll have to go back and see.
I know. Well, I am going back tomorrow. Yes, because the so I've been doing, as I mentioned before in the show. Like, I mean, everything's behind. All the contractors, right? Because of the rain, everybody's a bit behind. And I've always said, if anybody's ever been a client of mine, I always say, you know, I'm the designer. I don't do the heavy lifting. Well, I've started doing some heavy lifting and I'm not sure I like it, but I'm happy. You know, I'm happy to just that customers or clients are so happy to have their garden put in. And I get that they are fairly small spaces. I can do them with a helper in, you know, 3-4 hours and that the contractors just don't have time, you know, for something so small. And especially with how behind they are because of the rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I just left the garden center and there was a contractor I was just helping with roses.
Oh, really?
He had to be, I mean, what is it now? It's seven, just after 7. Yeah, and he's still got like 2 more hours in his day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just running around doing little things everywhere.
So yes, definitely. So yes, I'm helping at one with some replacements because things die.
Mm-hmm.
And we guarantee them for a year or two, depending. And so he's asked me to kind of pick up the replacements and drop them off. Now, unfortunately, this client's in Mississauga, so it's a bit more of a drop off. So I'm looking forward to doing that. So we're kind of debating what to do there.
Yeah.
Their plants were installed during that really hard summer last summer with all the heat.
Ooh, yeah.
And has done, especially, I think the cool spring has been really exceptional for this garden. Pretty much everything, we lost 2 things. A hydrangea standard, which, you know, took a beating kind of in its location, you know, just by the very nature of its location and the August, beginning of August. Like, it's a tough. Right.
Yeah. That was
full bloom. Like, you know, it was a tough condition. So not surprising because they're normally pretty tough. They normally, you know, don't lose those.
Yeah.
So that one and another little one that our friend Nancy is popular. And I can't even think of the name of it, but died. So I'm going to hopefully replace that on Wednesday. But so, I mean, we're trying to get to everything. We really are. We really, everybody in the industry works very hard. And I hope our listeners can appreciate that the weather is not our friend sometimes, whether it's good or bad, right? We can only do so much. So long story short, I did the past week, I did several, and I did one today with a helper. We did kind of a 2 big, large garden beds. Lots of established things, but we took some, you know, like an old euonymus out, a couple old junipers out, and just put better, more flowering, more interesting things back in, more hydrangeas.
Just refresh the look.
Yeah, refresh the look. Added a lot more burgundy foliage with those wine and roses wigelias, right?
Nice.
And fine wine wigelias. Really needed just a pop of color. It was very, very green, very lush. You know, you almost felt bad taking some stuff out. But, you know, they were 20 plus years old. They didn't owe anybody anything.
Nope.
And so it was nice to do that kind of garden revamp. But, boy, it takes a lot out of me.
Yeah.
It really does.
Speaking of purple foliage, have you seen Black Tower Elderberry?
I have not.
Oh, it's
how different is it? Different than the lace?
No, very well. It's a little thicker. Yeah, it's almost like a Japanese Bloodgood maple, like a little wider in the foliage.
Okay,
but it's still got that rich purple, the white flowers in summer. But it only grows 8 feet tall. And 2 to 3 feet wide.
Wow. So it's almost so like a little... Like more tree form than shrub form.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like a little DeGroots or something. Just a nice little deciduous.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're really fun. Just thinking of some fun upcoming purple foliage.
Yes. Yes. And what was that again?
Black Tower.
Black Tower.
Elderberry.
Elderberry. And non-fruiting, right?
Yeah. I don't think it is fruiting.
Yeah. I don't think any of the burgundy or yellow ones fruit.
Right.
It's just the green one.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, so always. Really cool. I mean, that's the benefit of working at the garden center, right? Is you get to see some of the new stuff, and
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, and I actually might, because that probably is pretty hardy. They're pretty hardy, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I want to say this one. I think that it's zone 4.
Okay,
but I may be mistaken. But I think it is for 4. So
I might even have a spot for that.
Mm-mm. I will put one aside for you.
Ah. do they have quick fire hydrangea standards? Have you been out in the nursery?
I haven't seen those in yet. No. No.
Okay.
I've seen vanilla strawberry, but not quick fire yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping to get one that turned pink a little faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably the fastest.
Quick fire is pretty good for that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
So I posted some on social media of my different things that are blooming in my garden. So I'm pretty happy. I mean, even though I said the roses weren't yet, my lilacs did last a long time. Poppy's short time.
Mm-hmm.
My summer snowflake viburnum is still blooming, has started blooming, and is still, I know it's going to bloom right to the frost. It's
such a great performer.
I know. It's such a good performer. Now, is it pterinifolia? The clematis, am I pronouncing it properly? Do you know which one I talk about? Tiny little white one. I think it's more the native clematis.
Yeah, yeah.
Or clematis, depending on who you speak to. Do you know which one I mean?
I think I know which one you mean, yeah. Okay. I think, is there a variety Prairie Traveler's Joy?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look it up. I forget the Latin name. But that one's a nice one with a small white flowers. Hardy to zone 1 and very fast growing. Yeah, that looks very similar to
it. Okay. Took a couple, like this is year 3, so it was really nothing the first year, not so much last year, a little bit. But then this year it is actually pulling down the trellis.
It's
like I have it in my garden on an obelisk, and my obelisk, I can't keep it straight. Like I can't keep it all in the ground. It's like something like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
She's taking her down.
That's right. It is taking it down. So that's good because it's nice and flowering, and it's just a different texture, I think, in the garden.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, they tend to be like Prairie Traveler's Joy, very similar, that little white flower. So overlooked.
Yes.
But it's got such a great leaf and a different shape of flower. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see how long it blooms, you know?
Yeah.
It's because it has been blooming for a couple weeks. So I'm hoping that it's a nice long bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I have to say, I mean, I'm pretty happy with what's happening in my garden so far. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with mine. I have mainly the shade garden. So not too much flowering right now, but the hostas have come out all nice. I mean, they're hostas, right? Tougher than nails.
Yes.
The bleeding heart's going nicely. Still just kind of finished bloom, getting some nice.
Okay. So you've got a good bloom out of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. My ostrich ferns aren't doing too well with the wind that we've had. They've been beaten up a bit, but.
Okay.
But they're still coming along. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, other than that, I also garden at my grandmother's. So
right.
Just doing, window boxes for her and getting some nice planters going and getting her color. But
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the cooler temperatures have probably not been great for the annuals, have they?
No, yeah. Yeah, they're kind of getting a little mushy and,
They need some heat.
They need some heat. They need some warmth to get those flowers growing, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, no. And then my vegetable garden, which we had talked about before.
Yes.
Yeah. The everything's going
well. Your potatoes in the potato sack.
The potatoes in the potato sack. They're absolutely huge. They're absolutely huge. They're doing very well. So I'm really looking forward to harvesting those. A little bit of an insect problem on those. I've gotten some flea beetles and some, aphids, some peach-colored aphids started. But
oh, okay.
I'll just quickly give them some ladybugs and finish those guys off.
Now, even with the other aphid issues that other clients have been asking about, is ladybugs the best way to go?
A lot of people are really going on to that natural solution, those ladybugs, because they eat so many in an hour, right? And then you can buy them in bags of 1,000. So I'll just tap out 100. And yeah, they just kind of crawl out.
Oh, are they that you can buy them by, like, you have them there in bulk and you can you tap out 100?
Yeah, well, I mean, I try to, you know, divide it by 10. You know, there's the group. It's hard to say, but, you know, tap out not all of them.
Okay,
but
next week, Gary, Matt needs to bring you some ladybugs.
And the ladybugs that you sell at the store, they're alive? They're alive?
Yep, they're all alive. And they
What do they do? Where do they, like, when they ship those?
Yeah.
Do they have to put food and stuff in the containers and everything, or how do they live?
No, they're well fed, and then they're harvested, and then they put them in that bag, and they cool them down, so it's almost like a winter dormancy kind of thing. So we just have them in a fridge. It's about 7 degrees, and they all just slow right down into a hibernation mode.
And they don't die?
Nope, and they don't die. They will eventually start to die for sure.
Yeah.
You only want to keep them in the fridge for about, you know, a month at most.
Okay.
Type thing.
And when you open up the bag then, or whatever the container is, they come alive?
Oh, yeah. If you take them out, even just I take them out of the fridge to show a guest, and they're just at full speed, they're full tilt, just crawling everywhere in the bag within 2 minutes.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And these
are
our native ladybugs,
right? I was going to say that too. Yeah, these are our native ladybugs. So they're a little longer in body. They're not that classic, you know, that cartoonized, that TV perfect red thing.
Yeah, Halloween. Yeah. You think cartoonized, but I'm thinking of like the Halloween costume.
Yeah, but ladybugs in itself, let's say you don't purchase anything to do what you guys are talking about. Ladybugs, if you see a lot of ladybugs in your garden, is that detrimental to anything in your garden, like any plants, fruits, vegetables, or is it just let them go?
Yeah, just let them do their thing. They're just kind of moving around and looking for, because they're carnivorous, right? They eat other small, soft-bodied insects, aphids, mealybugs, or anything else they'll go after,
So it's always good if you see them, just let them go.
Very good.
Yep, they're definitely a beneficial, what we call a beneficial insect.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, like as our praying mantis.
Yes, we sell those too.
Do you sell those too?
Yep. We have a little.
Oh, haven't I shared my funny story? I've not shared my funny story with you on praying mantis, Gary, on the show. Oh my gosh! When the boys, you used to not be able to get them at the garden centers. You used to have to mail order, right?
Okay.
Remember back in the day, right? Mail orders. I'm dating myself. Where you have to, you know, call somebody and order them over the phone, and then they were delivered.
Yeah.
And they said that it would take, you know, you could keep them in the house for like a week to 10 days, you know, and before you release them into the garden, right? So I ordered them. I have two boys, and Easter, you know, like I thought, hey, that'd be cool, right? When they were little, and they were little, like they were, you know, under 10, thought it'd be cool to order them praying mantis eggs or praying mantis. And then we would, no, I guess it was eggs because they hatch.
Yeah.
Yes, so it was eggs. And then, you know, when it was time, we would release them in the garden. They came right before Easter. Great. They shipped them in a paper bag, which was great. We went to visit my parents for Easter for the weekend. We come back to house full of praying mantis.
Oh, they hatched?
They hatched.
Oh, and escaped.
So my sheer curtains had all these little green guys. Like, it was kind of funny.
How did you get rid of them all?
Well, you kind of had to. No, Gary, no.
I would have taken the right?
No, I paid money for those things. Oh. Then it was just kind of, you know, carefully getting them outside. But yeah, that was a little bit bad with my timing.
How many would you say were in the house?
Oh,
more than 50?
I would say 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cases we sell on average hatch about 200.
Really?
Yeah.
How big is the case, the thing you buy? How big is the package?
You know what? It's just a little tiny ball, like 3/4 inch by a 1/2 inch round. It's just this little.
And there's how many in there?
There's usually about 400 eggs, but about 200 or so plus hatch.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
I know.
How they do stuff like that.
So in the garden, that's great, right? If you've got a big garden and you've got some insect issues, then ordering that is a great thing to do.
Yeah.
And then you hope that you kind of are, and is that the case? And then you're hoping that they'll kind of stay because you've got a food source.
Right.
And that they'll lay eggs for next year.
Right.
And you're kind of, you know, creating your own little
ecosystem.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so just real quick then. For people that, if they want to do some type of maintenance on their garden, and would this be ladybugs and or the praying guys there, would that be something that you would recommend just every year, just make sure you have some around your garden? Because it would be a good help for, you know, insects. Would that be something you'd recommend to have in your garden every year?
I don't know that you'd have, I think you wouldn't have to buy them necessarily every year,
yeah,
but I think if you are noticing that you are having a persistent, you know, aphid issue or insect issue, and I think it's going to keep happening, especially with our mild winter,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of insects didn't get killed off.
Yeah.
So if it is something that you're kind of, if you're an avid gardener and you're kind of getting annoyed by all these little insects, right?
Yeah.
Eating your plants. Then that's it's a great proactive, aside from, you know, having to turn to the spray bottle again and spraying something.
Yeah.
That's a great, proactive thing to do. Especially if you have little kids, I think it's a double whammy because I think it's cool.
Yeah. It's safer too than anything you might.
Yeah. And it's not really
so
expensive.
Safe.
They're not really that expensive.
No.
How much are your ladybugs?
The ladybugs are $25 and you are guaranteed 1,000 in the bag.
That's incredible.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you mean you're probably looking at a chemical. You're looking at least $20.
You're
so.
At least 15 to 20, depending on what it is, plus another piece of equipment if you have to mix it,
right?
And a concentrate, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera.
Yes, those hose end sprayers. Oh my god,
yeah.
It brings me back to like Aquascape and having to do math again. Like seriously. So I think it's much easier. You know, it's a great option for sure.
Very
for
interesting.
Sure. I think it's a great option to our listeners.
See, Matt, I can keep the show going.
You can totally keep the show going.
It's not an issue.
Yes. Well, why don't we pause? We got a couple of listener questions here coming in, but why don't we pause for a commercial break? And we'll be right back here on Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
Inside my heart, there's an emptiness, a heavy hate on a hollow chest. Soul spoken like a disease is the way to incomplete me. Can you shake this?
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, it's like I'm running into walls, or my money flows out as quickly as it comes in? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801. To book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
The following program will make you want to grow things and buy bugs and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised.
You know I did it. It's over and I feel fine. Nothing you could say is gonna change my mind. Waited and I waited the longest night. Nothing like the taste of sweet decline.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board, it's simple, it's easy, and it's fun. Dial 905 425-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, talking about bugs, back to Down the Garden Path with Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thanks, Gary, and welcome back, everyone. Well, we're talking about June in the garden, and this June happens to involve a lot of bugs, right, Matt?
It does involve a lot of bugs.
Now, do you think it's because of the winter or because of the spring? It's kind of tricky.
Yeah, it is kind of tricky. I think it's a little bit of both. Like you were saying earlier, not everything gets killed off because of our winter.
Right.
And that's one of the benefits of having our winter, right? You get to freeze them all out and kill them. But then we've also had some really nice, cool, damp, dark weather. And a number of bugs enjoy that kind of that weather to take over and start to multiply. So very easy. It is tough to nail down one. I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
All right.
Yeah. We were talking about ladybugs just before the end. And this is one that I often get with bugs is the ladybug larva. So if you haven't seen a ladybug larva, it's probably about just under half an inch.
Okay.
And it's this black, long, pointed thing with a red square on its back. And it looks evil and spiky.
Really? And where would you find it in the garden?
And anywhere where you'd find ladybugs. And you'll usually find them with sick plants, like with aphids or other small, soft-bodied insects. Because they're going to show up like they're adult ladybugs that we like. Like mom and dad, and they're going to start eating everything. But usually people find them all like, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and all these curled leaves. So they think that they're doing the damage. So just be familiar with what a little baby ladybug looks like, because a lot of people will come in with a whole Ziploc bag and say, hey, I've got all these infesting my plants.
They just
start spraying with insecticidal. So,
right. Yeah. So give it a minute. Okay. So if there's a lot of little baby, describe that pod. So that's what they're in.
They're just like a long, black, soft bodied insect.
Okay.
Right. So they'll hatch out of the eggs, and then they'll come out and they'll be just long, kind of like the end of a pen, that kind of shape.
Where it's kind of
square at the head and then it tails off.
Okay, so they don't come up with their little red dots on the back.
No, they have a little red square, but they don't look like ladybugs at all.
Okay, and when do they start looking like ladybugs?
They'll kind of pupate or chrysalis again and then kind of hang out for half a week or a week.
Oh.
And then they'll emerge as their ladybug.
Oh, so it's quite the life cycle.
Yes.
Wow.
It's fairly interesting, but that one is often like, oh, who is this? And my tree looks horrible.
I
got someone else and the ladybugs are there to help.
Yes, the ladybugs are there to help.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Patty's written in and she's asked us. She said she's planted a peony last year and this year it is not blooming. So it should be blooming by now.
Yeah.
You should definitely see some buds on it.
Most
When it's a new peony, you might only get 2 or 3 buds. You're not going to get a ton. But I'm guessing it's probably planted too deep. What do you think?
Yeah.
That tends to be something, Patty, that our peonies, the depth that they're in their pot, you want to still see a little bit of the root, like a little bit, not quite the root, but the top of the, what'd you call that? Like the crown of the plant.
Right?
That doesn't want to be buried too deep for whatever reason. So just the same depth. So anybody's listening who's planning on planting peonies, or if you also have an issue with your peony, then you can just kind of lift it. It won't really fix things for this year, but for next year.
Right. Yeah. She'll settle in much better and be able to set better blooms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We tend to plant things too shallow, especially trees. Too deep.
Too deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one or the other, right?
Very much one or the other.
Yeah, for sure. And but peonies, irises are probably the other one that doesn't like to be planted too deep.
That's another one that they do especially. Yeah, they like those tubers to be right at the soil level and do a little bit of sunbathing. They like to be that warm.
Yeah, and people don't like that, though, because they don't want to see the tubers,
right?
They want to cover that up with mulch or with soil.
Exactly. Or they think that it's planted incorrectly, that it's going to hurt it.
Right.
All the roots are showing. That's a bad thing.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. So there you go, Patty. Thank you very much for the question.
Yeah, thank you, Patty.
Excellent. So what else is happening at the garden center? Well, in addition to the insects, you said something about fruit trees.
Yeah. So the fruit trees, another common one we're getting right now is peach leaf curl. So it's a virus that turns the peach, kind of mutates and bubbles almost on the surface and kind of gives them this curled look.
Okay.
It goes bright red and peach and yellow color.
This is the leaf?
The leaf itself.
Oh, okay. Right?
So it's kind of, it's very colorful and kind of pretty to me, but
oh, okay.
But it's a bad thing. Yeah. So it just interferes with the photosynthesis of the tree.
Oh, slowly, okay. Because then do the leaves then kind of fall off?
Right.
And
they start to fall off, or if they hang on there, you know, the leaf isn't feeding efficiently and
okay.
It can starve the or slow down some fruit production, that kind of thing. But a lot of people are wondering what to do, and right now you can't really do anything with it. You can pick off some of the worst leaves. Hopefully,
okay.
Grow some
Why
new
can't
ones.
You do anything?
It's just the timing for the virus. So it becomes active and spreads in the fall.
Okay.
So you're going to spray it with a Bordeaux, which is a copper spray.
Okay.
In the fall, just after the leaves have dropped. And you can only do it twice in the fall because copper, if you don't know, is super, super toxic to birds and animals and aquatic systems.
Oh.
But it's a great fungal killer.
Okay.
Yeah. So
will the tree still have fruit?
Yeah. So if the tree has fruit, that's good. It'll still bear the fruit. Just make sure that she's well fed and well watered.
Okay.
Which, I mean, this year in our area isn't an issue.
Yeah. We're not having an issue with the well watered right now.
No. Yeah. And then she should just continue to fatten up those fruits as long as that stress
okay.
isn't too big.
All right. So yeah. So it's just more of a sightly thing.
It's more of a sightly thing that slowly, you know, over unchecked over a number of
oh,
years.
Okay.
Might
okay. So it could affect, if you don't do the copper in the fall, then it could affect it next year, might be worse.
Right. Slowly okay. stresses and yeah, takes okay. over the tree. Yeah.
And so would copper be considered as an environmentally friendly thing? No, probably not then.
Not really. I mean, it's quote unquote, if I'm using those right, organic, because it's just the copper, right?
Right.
But it is very toxic. Yeah. Okay. So it's not a friendly thing at all. So,
But it's the only option for right. that virus.
Right. It's the only real, it's the main thing to get rid of that virus.
Okay.
And then just making sure cultural controls, all those peach leaves that drop have the virus. So you want to make sure in the fall that's sanitation.
Right.
Making sure the ones that are hiding under the yew hedge at the back, you know, get pulled out and cleaned
right.
up.
Yeah, right.
And destroyed, not composted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because, yeah, you don't want to, and you don't want to just leave them on the lawn to just recirculate again either.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I have a question for you. I visited, it was Father's Day yesterday. Happy Father's Day to all our fathers out there. Happy Father's Day, Gary.
Thank you very much.
And my dad has a sugar maple in the backyard that actually started by a
volunteer, a little birdie.
Yeah. And he's let it grow, and it's actually magnificent. And he was just saying that last year he didn't, he calls them helicopters.
yes.
Last year he had like probably 12 bags of helicopters, like a ton. And this year it didn't fill one bag. And I was like, really? And then I looked, and it actually is already losing leaves. And because I said, uh-oh. And so all the leaves that were on the ground all were curled up with black, like their tips were all black. And
right.
so I kind of picked up the leaves and I'm like, Dad, like what's, and then on the, so a lot of the leaves on the tree also had black tips,
mm-hmm.
but you know, for June, they shouldn't have been losing leaves.
No.
So
for
yeah,
June,
so I kind of was like,
leaves.
I have to ask Matt tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of, with the maples, a lot of the water damage. So they're drawing up too much water. They're staying too moist.
Okay. Because that's a tree that likes its water.
Right. Yeah. And then so you got the leaves there. And then there is a little bit of I think it's anthracnose going around as well.
Okay.
That's starting to attack the leaves at the same time.
Because it definitely wasn't tar spot. Like, they weren't spots. It was definitely, and you know, the sugar maple is the one with the much more cut leaf, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So definite a black curl to it.
Yeah.
So. Okay, yeah. So there's not really much you can do.
No. Right now we're just advising, you know, just make sure you're not watering. Make sure, you know, and there's nothing you can do with the rain, but don't spray or any water on the rain. And hopefully it just kind of can correct itself. But then for the people who actually do have the anthracnose disease, just again, culturally, like cleaning it up, spraying some garden sulfur to kind of help suppress it and kill any of the active spores and prevent it from spreading with the rain as well.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, thank you.
No problem. Yeah, I noticed for Father's Day, my dad and I went down to Veterans Point, I think it's called, in Ajax. And their trees had the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, they had a few silver maples and I think a few sugar maples as well. But they had the exact...
I never know if it's sugar or silver. Both, yeah.
The silver is the one that has that very long middle section. It goes very deep into the leaf.
Oh, okay, then this is not that.
Turns out and goes back.
Okay.
Was that the one that...
No.
Okay.
No,
so yeah,
it's definitely sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then, the silver maples had it as well around. So, yeah. And there, the lilacs, like you were saying earlier, they had dwarf Korean lilacs and they were still in full
really?
Bloom. Yeah. Just hedges of them. It just reeked of lilac. So.
Yeah. Down by the lake, right? Were you down by the lake?
Yeah. We were right on the lake. Yeah. So just a little cooler there.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It's a little
definitely
slower coming.
Definitely a different... zone almost, right?
Yeah.
For sure. So that's good. So yeah, so it's because Wednesday is the first day of summer, technically.
Yes.
Already. And to have lilac still blooming in, near the end of June, that's exciting.
Early summer.
Yeah, for sure. I did my newsletter this past week as well. I eked it out in time. I tried to get it out the first bit in June. So I covered a lot of different things for my listener or for my listeners and my subscribers. So if you do a monthly newsletter, started out for just my clients, but you can go to my website and sign up for it. And it just tends to be a little bit of what to do in the garden now, what not to do, because I found it was really hard for me now in the age of social media and my phone number, it was hard for me to get back to everybody.
Yeah.
And it still is. So I know there's lots of patient people out there. So I found if I could be proactive with the information, that would help.
Yeah.
So it has been, I have a pretty good, everybody says they love it and they look forward to it and it helps me to keep in touch with everybody. So that's really nice. So I did write about some of the things that we've mentioned, some of the some things are behind because of the cool temperatures. They're even behind at the growers. Like the growers are actually freaking out because there's some stuff that should be coming along and it really isn't.
Yeah.
So please, aside from your Annabelle hydrangeas, all the other hydrangeas are looking good and green and lush, but there's no buds yet.
No.
I've had a couple of customers from last year kind of text me and email me and say, my hydrangeas don't look like they're going to bloom. And I'm like, yep, they're going to bloom. It's just a little late. They need some heat. Also, ornamental grasses, with the exception of Carl Forrester.
Yeah.
But I've seen some of those being a little bit behind, too.
Yes.
Depending on where they're located. But yeah, the grasses, even to buy them, I know a client looking for a little blue stem. Can't find them anywhere. No. It's just, we just need some heat, consistent heat.
Yep. Just need some warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's very true. Yeah. The warm season, those big, big grasses that we like, they're classified as warm season grasses.
Yes.
So they thrive in that humidity. And that's the difference where our lawn is concerned. They're all cool season grasses.
Right.
And that's why they do so well in the fall and spring. So,
right.
Yeah, they're definitely behind.
Yeah. So have you noticed that people are bringing things in that trying to get a guarantee for them because they're thinking it's dead, but yet it's not dead?
Yeah, exactly. And some lilacs we had just the other day. They were behind, or not the other day, probably, but last week or so. But they were behind, and the buds were just starting to form, and they were upset that it hadn't started yet. And it's just like, you're just it's just all a little behind.
Yeah. Patience, everybody. Yeah. Patience. And so we have another listener question for someone, and this is exactly what I wrote about in my newsletter that last month, because I've been trying to figure out my Annabelle, the leaves. So there's a caterpillar that likes the Annabelle hydrangeas and is causing all the leaves to curl. So this is my third year with it, and I've kind of finally figured it out. So the first year I panicked and I tore all those flower heads off. And then the second year I thought, okay, I'm going to spray. And I got some, insecticidal soap and I was spraying my, and then it just seems to pass. And then the hydrangeas do fine. So I did find out that it is actually, it's a beneficial insect or a pollinator. It's a red admiral moth.
Mm.
And it really doesn't. So the first few like buds, it does look like it's going to eat your flower heads, but it really only affects a handful on the shrub. And then they once they I'm guessing they're hatching because I only see the aftermath. I've yet to find the caterpillar. But, you know, it looks odd. And mm-hmm. I've got pictures on Facebook or if you want more information, please message me. Of what the leaves look like. So I did take some photos of what my leaves look like all curled up with the caterpillar inside. But then kind of once it goes, it goes. And now, I mean, my Annabelle, so I didn't do anything in this year. I didn't pick them off. I didn't spray them. I didn't do anything.
Right.
And they have all hatched, I'm assuming, or turned into butterfly or moths. And departed. And my Annabelles are going to be great. They're nice and full of buds. And yeah, I think it looks really good. So nice. I think there seem to be like a zone of those because I've talked to people in the West End and they don't know what the heck I'm talking about.
Nope.
You know, I was talking to a bunch of different horticulture people at Canada Blooms. Nobody knew. So I think it's kind of a certain zone. So I think Durham Region is definitely an area.
Definitely.
Yes.
For the last couple of years. Yep,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And I know I've been in, because the first year it happened, I even came into the garden center there and nobody knew. Like it just seemed to be it came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And just about what you said, about 3 years ago, she just kind of started moving through.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's good to know that it's beneficial. It's a pollinator. And that it's not really going to kill our plants.
No, no. She takes a few little tips, like you said.
Yes, but that's about it. And the leaves, I think they kind of even uncurl. Like, it's not really...
No, and I've pulled one of them apart. They almost use, like, this kind of, like, webbing or this spit. And they just kind of, like, sew them together.
Yeah.
And they're easily to pull apart and they're undamaged.
Yes.
And there's just a few layers that right in the bud, like you said. And she's just
hiding. It's kind of cool, but...
It's very cool.
Yes. So if you wanted some more information about that, then please let me know. But it's good to know that it's not harmful. And Blaine has written in and he said our information on bugs was very interesting and informative. So thank you, Blaine. We think so, too. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool that you can buy bugs now these days to improve your garden. So why don't we stop for one more commercial break? And we'll talk about what else is happening. All right. So thank you for listening. We are to Down the Garden Path. I'm Joanne Shaw, and we will be right back here on Reality Radio 101.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801. To book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
How many times have you been pushed around? Is anybody there? Does anybody care? And how many times have your friends let you down? Is anybody there? Did anybody stare?
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. send us an email right now in studio101@gmail.com.
How many times has your face slipped away?
And now, right back to a wealth of information. Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, and welcome back to Down the Garden Path.
Welcome back, everyone.
So if nobody wants to write in anymore about what's happening in their June garden, I know I was asking people in my newsletter as well, and I did have some people email their newsletter back with some photos of what's blooming. So we'd love to see your photos on social media. So you can, all my social media links are on my website at downtoearth.ca with the number two. So downtoearth.ca. So I'd love to see what's blooming in your garden.
In your garden.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on the road soon. So next week.
I was going to say, you're not going to be here next week at all.
I'm not going to be here. I'm despite the crazy season, I'm squeaking out a trip. It's called the Garden Blogger Fling. This is the 9th annual one. This is my third one. So the first one happened to be in Toronto in 2015. Last year, so that's how I found it, because it was here.
Because it was here.
Yeah. And then last year it was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So that was kind of cool. Similar zone to us. So it was really kind of really keen. This year it's actually in Washington, D.C.
Nice. And is it how long is the event?
It is Thursday. Technically, it's Thursday to Sunday. That's when the whole thing, but people kind of fly in usually earlier and stay. A lot of us stay till the Monday, and so try to get in a bit more sightseeing. So might not be garden sightseeing necessarily.
Right.
I know in Minnesota, that's when we went and checked out Mary Tyler Moore's statue in Minneapolis.
Right.
And we did some other, you know, really cool sightseeing. So, you know, it's a long way to go to just leave, you know, although it is jam packed, like it's not really a holiday because we are on buses. So everybody's a garden writer, or there's Garden Design Magazine. Jim comes, a lot of the seed growers, seed companies, and things like that participate as well.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. And we just go. So like you'll get off the bus and you have like 45 minutes to see this garden. Then you got to get back on the bus, that kind of thing. So it's pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to it. So we do get to see a lot of the public government gardens, which will be interesting in Washington.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And they also have a similar zone to us. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm happy about that. And we're also going to tour some gardens in Northern Virginia and Maryland as well.
Cool. Very nice.
I know.
Very nice.
I know.
Are people writing the articles as they're going, or is it more like a social networking kind of thing?
They'll probably write when they get back. So we're all writers. You have to have a blog to participate.
Right.
So, and you have had to have had a blog post in the last 6 months or so to actually be allowed to come. And we can't bring a spouse. Like we can bring a spouse and they can go off and do their own thing, but they can't come to the gardens with us, kind of thing. So that's kind of interesting. So it's pretty, you know, it's kind of filtered that way, so that it's all people who will write and write in their blog. And then a lot are authors, book authors. We've had many on the show before, and I'm hoping to have them again on the show for sure. So that's kind of a cool. But it is networking for sure, and it's been a great way. Brent Haas, who does hashtag Garden Chat, I got to know her through Twitter, and then she's done the show a couple times. She does a Twitter chat every Monday night at 9:00, so it's always after our show. Oh, we didn't say. after our show at 9:00 on Monday night, so we talked quite a few times on the show and on Twitter, but never met. And she came to the fling last year, so we got to meet in person. So that was really cool. Yeah,
that's
so
really
for sure.
Cool.
So we have someone listening from, Brad is listening from Honolulu. Oh my gosh, Hawaii.
Aloha, Brad. Yeah, and he's saying what we were discussing about the ladybugs has been in practice on the Big Island for quite a while, it sounds. So that's really neat, using natives and integrated pest management to control otherwise, fairly big issues in in everybody's garden.
Yeah, so that's good. So we might have to do a whole insect show or a beneficial insect show. Definitely. So I am looking. So I'm leaving really, really early Thursday morning, and I'm back Monday night, late Monday night. So I won't be here. But I know you can do it. You can have a great show on Monday night.
And we'll have the double-double ready.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, nice night.
So, and there's always lots to talk about, too. So it'll be really good. And lots of gardens to tour. I added some pictures of last year's garden to my newsletter when I sent it out, because I was telling my clients about that I was getting ready to go to the fling again. And then I kind of there's a Japanese garden in Como Park in Minneapolis that we got to tour, and we got to see some of the stuff, some of the breeding that was happening at the University of Minnesota.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. So it's really eclectic. Every host does it a little differently. It looks like their swag bags are huge. So I'm
that's
having
the real
to,
reason I know, you're going,
I know,
right?
I know. Yeah. Well, it's tricky because we can't bring, because being Canadian, we can't bring plants back.
Yes.
So last year we were all able to, there were three Canadians that went last year to Minnesota, and we were given house plants because that was the only plant. It was great. It was very nice of the organizers to know that the only plant that the Canadians could bring back was a house plant. But we had to go to that extra step in security and have them look it up, and so it was kind of really weird. But so I'm packing the big suitcase, I think, because it looks like we're getting lots of good swag. But it's lots of great sponsors, so it's a really good, cool event, and it's a great way to learn more about what's happening in the industry and things like that. So shout out to all the organizers and the sponsors for the Washington, D.C. Capital Region Garden Bloggers Fling. So you can follow along. So you should do it as well. So I'm sure you'd probably enjoy some of this.
Yeah.
So definitely hashtag Fling 2017. And so between Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, we'll definitely, everybody posts and shares quite a bit. So it'll be really cool.
Nice.
I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I have a lot to do before I can... get there, just being the nature of the thing, right? Trying to just, but I am only gone for a few days, so I'm sure everybody's garden will be okay without me for a few days.
Yeah, you'll have to make it through, and you'll probably come back with lots of new contacts and possibly exciting new guests for the show.
Yes, we'll definitely new topics and new guests for the show, but also just inspired, because I think as a designer, you can get a little like.
For sure.
Stuck in a rut with always using the same things and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think it's
a nice source of inspiration.
Yeah, it's a nice source for sure. And because in the U.S. they tend to get their plants a little bit ahead. Do we have Bloomstruck at your garden center yet? Have you seen Bloomstruck?
I haven't seen it there yet.
Okay.
I
saw them at the grower last year in Minnesota. So that was new. It's kind of like the new improved Endless Summer that I'm so disappointed on.
Yeah.
And it's just making its way. So it's not quite here yet. I've seen little peaks of that, little bits of it, but not really in a large stock.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see what's coming, know, because, if it's new to them, then it's going to still be 2 or 3 years before it gets here.
Exactly. They've got that little trend.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So. So, and next year it's in Austin, Texas, and it's earlier, it's in May, and I just don't think I'll be able to swing it. It's a different zone and stuff too. So it's a little bit, we'll see. But so that's what's happening in my neck of the woods.
Sounds like a good little neck of the woods.
And so we want to thank everybody for, chatting about June.
Yeah. Thank you, Patty, Blaine, and Brad, for writing in and sharing your time with us and joining us on the show. Next week, I'm going to be here. Like you said, you're not going to be here. So I'll be here talking fertilizers.
Very
with
cool.
Everyone, fertilizers, what to do or chemicals.
Yeah, because I know your people are going to ask about grass, but it's not just fertilizers. There's tree and shrubs. And I know I did a planting today and she asked about fertilizers. So lots of people have lots of questions.
There's lots of questions about their fertilizers. Yeah.
Excellent. Yep. Excellent. So that'll be a great show. I am sure. So we want to thank everybody for listening tonight.
Thanks again.
And absolutely. Please reach out on social media and we'd be happy to hear from you.
Yes. Gary's off doing his thing, but thanks again, everyone. I'm Matthew Dressing here with
Joanne Shaw and Down the Garden Path. Thank you for joining us down the garden path. And Matthew will talk to you next week. And you're here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101.